Refer now to diagram 2. Stop. Continue. This is not, as some surmise, a representation of the brain. It's my representation of any and all hypotheticals you've encountered or will encounter, either in law school or on a bar exam, whether the fact pattern is 3 lines in length or 5 or 10 pages, single-spaced. I say they're all represented by this figure. If you haven't taken an essay exam, look at the corporation's hypo on page 119 while I'm talking. Stop. Continue. If the squiggles in diagram 2 represent facts, names, dates, places, circumstances, events, what you typically encounter is a confusion of factual information, a veritable chaos of facts. Your task is to tease out of this chaos and analyze all so-called legal issues lurking therein, demonstrating in the process, through orderly steps of analysis, your command not of all the law you've encountered during the term, but of certain portions of that vast amount of legal knowledge you'll take into every exam that are relevant to things occurring in a set of facts you've never seen before. This is a test of reasoning ability, of logical, deductive, inductive, problem-solving ability, not simply of ability to regurgitate legal principles committed to memory. How can I make such sweeping generalizations? How can I assert that this figure represents all law essay hypotheticals? Indeed, why is this exam format, a chaos of facts, make legal sense out of them? Why is this format featured on most exams at every law school in the country? Because the purpose of law school, bottom line, is what? To train attorneys. You go to law school, then, in most instances, you practice law. So doesn't it make sense that all law school exams measure students' progress toward some ideal that we can call competent practicing attorney? That's what the hypothetical exam format is thought to do very nicely, to measure your progress in becoming a lawyer. For this format, complex facts make legal sense out of them, is thought to approximate a task lawyers face every day. Imagine several people crowding into a law office. They spill out a tangle of facts. An attorney scribbles it all down on a yellow pad. Then these several people clamor in unison, "Advise us of our rights and liabilities, and you've got 50 minutes to do it in." You'd have a fair approximation of an essay hypothetical. Of course, the attorney is going to say, "Hold on, what's this 50-minute stuff? I'll get back to you this afternoon, tomorrow, next week." Then she'll call a colleague who's had a similar case. That's the first thing a lawyer should do. Or log on to the office brief bank. Or, if worse comes to worse, do some original research. The attorney is not going to be constrained to figure out the legal ramifications of the jumble of facts on her yellow pad in 50 minutes. Indeed, at almost no point in your lawyering career do you encounter the time pressure you face on a law school exam. Even if something unexpected comes up during a hearing or trial, with the consent of opposing counsel in the court, you can adjourn for 20 minutes or until after lunch. You can adjourn the entire proceeding for a day or 2 weeks, time enough to do the necessary research, photocopy some cases, submit supplemental memoranda of law. Thus, if hypotheticals are thought to approximate the task that lawyers face every day, recognize at the outset that this exam format is fundamentally unfair. Lawyers rarely, if ever, face the kind of time pressure law students experience when confronted with the task, make sense of a hypothetical in X number of minutes. So if it makes you feel better at the outset of our investigation, you can assume a posture of moral superiority vis-a-vis the entire law exam process. It's basically unfair because of the artificial and typically severe time constraints. I may note that in recent years, doubtless in response to student complaints, as law school tuition has skyrocketed, law school administrations have become more consumer sensitive, I've detected a trend in some law schools, typically the higher ranked ones, toward longer exams. I hear of 5- and 6-hour exams, more 8-hour and 24-hour take-home exams. I even heard of a 4-day take-home exam. These techniques will certainly be applicable when you have more time, but the focus throughout the program will be on the typical 3- to 4-hour exam at the end of term, where time constraints are usually a significant factor.